From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Governor Nathan Deal called a special session of the Georgia legislature for November 13th. Southwest Georgia was devastated by Hurricane Michael, and the governor's office told the AJC that the state needs to allocate about $100 million to help with the cleanup and support local governments. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more on the catastrophe that prompted the move.
Tucked away in a corner of the Pine Knoll Pecan Grove near the town of Pretoria, Georgia, is one of those things that Mitch Bulger says makes living and working here worth it.
I promise you, stick your finger in that, that's cold as water. There goes a duck.
A flock of about half a dozen water birds fly through cypress trees, bordering a bubbling spring-fed pool. And yes, this summer swimming hole is in fact cold.
Oh, wow.
A lot of fun back here.
Bulger's been the farm manager at Pine Knoll for 20 years. The family that owns the plantation is mostly scattered to Colorado and Rhode Island. But for Bulger, this is the only home his kids have ever known.
This means everything to me.
Which is why the scene at our backs hurts so much. It's one of the thousands of the farm's pecan trees laid low by Hurricane Michael. And this one was a real moneymaker.
One of the oldest varieties there is.
That's actually called a moneymaker.
Here's the biggest one, Grant, this one right here.
Its ripped up taproot is encased in red clay, and maybe 30 yards away, pecans are piled like gravel in a dry stream bed between enormous tree trunks. The nuts could still be gathered by hand if only someone would do the work.
I had a crew Monday, and now I don't have a crew, so I paid them 25 cents. They still didn't stay.
That's 25 cents a pound, and that works out to about $25 a day. In an average year, these nuts would have been headed to China. Not this year. And not because of the weather, but because of the U.S.-China trade war. Now?
I don't know that we can supply what our Americans will need.
There's still money to be made in a grove of far younger trees, though it didn't escape damage. Thousands of these trees must be cut down, too. Still, Bulger says the younger trees are the long-term future of the Pine Knoll Plantation. But in the short term?
Got those lean years coming ahead of us, and we'll work around them.
Mitch Bulger says that means replanting. And tending, and waiting for decades. Then he's hopeful he'll see the Pine Knoll Pecan Plantation thick with moneymakers again. For NPR News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Pretoria, Georgia.
And the destruction that Grant reported on prompted Governor Deal to call lawmakers back to Atlanta. He's done this only once before to redraw congressional districts, and that was in 2011. Bill Nygut is host of GPB's Political Rewind and is here for some perspective on the assembly set to convene under the Gold Dome next month. Bill, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Virginia.
Well, let's start with the basics. What is a special session?
Under Georgia statutes, a governor is permitted to call the legislature back into session at a different time of the year than the regular session.
So it adjourned, in March?
They go from January to usually late March, early April. It depends on how many times they stop the clock. So that they have a 40-day annual session. Required by law. But then the governor, if he feels there's a pressing need, can call an additional meeting of the legislature. He has to, in his call, tell the people of the state, tell legislators what he wants on the agenda for that special session. He's done that in this case. He wants to look at hurricane damage and how to pay for it. He wants to look at a tax break for jet fuel, and he may have one or two other items that he'll add to it. I think he wants to get some judicial confirmations. He has a little leeway in deciding on a couple of additional items, but he also has to say, we think we'll go a week, we might go a little longer.
Right, and this is state lawmakers earn about $17,000 a year.
Yeah.
Many have other jobs. A practical barrier to calling a special session. So how extraordinary is this?
It happens irregularly, but it has happened on a number of occasions in the last few decades. And this one, the reason for it, of course, is that there has been at least $100 million worth of damage that the state and the federal government are going to have to deal with Hurricane Michael was obviously incredibly devastating to farmers, to rural Georgia communities as well. And he doesn't want to wait to start figuring out how to pay for those bills. So he's bringing the legislature together first and foremost to address the costs and how to deal with them.
I'm reading 35,000 property-related insurance claims have been filed. Insured losses estimated to hit a total of $250 million. That's according to the Georgia Insurance Commissioner. Of course, insurance is different than federal funding. And this doesn't even cover Georgia crops. So by meeting earlier, what does that mean? The money gets out earlier?
Yeah. I mean, eventually, most of this will be paid for by federal relief dollars. But in the meantime, the governor and his people say, look, we got to start paying bills now. We've got to pay for maintenance crews who are going to do cleanup in a lot of these cases. We've got staff, people in government staffs who are working many overtime hours. And he wants to find a way to pay for this stuff now so the checks can start flowing. Federal aid will reimburse a lot of this later on.
We did speak to two farmers in southwest Georgia after Hurricane Michael. Here's what Irwin County pecan grower Randy Hudson said.
Well, I'm going to tell you, last year we lost over 1,000 trees to Irma. And at that time, I walked across orchards and I said, look, I don't know about this. But then I went back and planted those spots and counting on my grandchildren one day to harvest pecans. And, of course, this, now I'm out here today with probably at least another 1,000 trees on the ground. And just every acre I got has got just limbs piled on top of limbs.
It's just tragic to imagine a farmer looking out over their land like that. And farmers and others in southwest Georgia are certainly suffering. But is a special session the only way the state can help? I mean, does Governor Deal have any special powers he can exercise for emergency funding the way a president, for example, could use an executive order?
Well, I think one of the most important things that a governor can do is to make a special pleading with, in fact, the federal authorities, in this case with the President of the United States. It's very important. You know, there's a lot of controversy over whether people like or dislike the way President Trump is running his administration. But the fact that the governor was able to meet with Donald Trump in South Georgia and talk about the damage is an incalculably important opportunity to press for the kind of emergency relief that the people of rural Georgia are going to need. And it helps that we're a Republican state in this case. Donald Trump isn't going to respond as quickly if there's a disaster, say, in the heart of Illinois' Democratic territory or Massachusetts. He wouldn't necessarily ignore it entirely. But presidents do respond to the people in the states that he or she would know they support him or her.
Well, farmers and state and local officials that we talked to were effusive about the visits to the region by President Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, and other top officials. But more on that. In his research, John Gasper, he's at Carnegie Mellon's B School, he found that disaster response have been political footballs played by Democrats and Republicans. How have we seen that play out?
Well, look no further than Puerto Rico. The president was very slow, as was FEMA, to respond to the devastation. Puerto Rico, as we know, was wiped out by the Hurricane Maria that went through there. And, you know, there's this sense that Puerto Rico is a distant kind of cousin to the United States. But in fact, the people of Puerto Rico vote in elections. They have a role to play in electing presidents. So the fact that the president seemed to be slow, and when he did finally go to Puerto Rico, there were people who felt that the way he behaved in Puerto Rico did not take into consideration the gravity of the situation, actually is having blowback in the midterm election year. There are many Puerto Ricans who have relocated to Florida because their homes are unlivable or they've got other issues that have not been resolved, and they will get to cast votes in November that could very well be referendums on how they feel Trump did in dealing with the Puerto Rican hurricane.
Right. Well, Randy said Irma was a devastating hurricane for Georgia, but there was no special session called then. And it's impossible to ignore the fact that midterm elections now less than 2 weeks away. Rural voters, hardest hit by Hurricane Michael, voters in counties that tend to vote Republican.
Yeah.
You know, Governor Deal's going to be a lame duck then when he calls this session. His successor should then be decided. Is there any political calculation in calling a special session?
Well, I haven't talked to the governor about this. I cannot read his mind, but it is certainly true that Brian Kemp is spending most of his time courting voters in rural areas of Georgia. He was very quick to get down to South Georgia to talk to the people there who were hit by the storm. So is that in the back of Governor Deal's mind? I would think that there may be something to what you're saying, Virginia.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I'm speaking with GPB's Bill Nygut about the special session of the Georgia legislature for hurricane relief. But when it does come to disaster response and declaration, we have to face it. There's a lot riding on that response for politicians. Giuliani was named America's mayor, yeah. We remember, after 9/11. Obama was criticized for his response to the oil spill, the Gulf oil spill, which was pretty slow. What are some other examples of how this has played out and changed an administration's legacy?
George W. Bush was criticized severely for the way that his administration responded to Katrina in New Orleans for a couple of reasons. Number one, you'll recall that after Katrina came through, President Bush was on Air Force One coming back from a trip. They happened to be in Louisiana airspace, so he asked that Air Force One fly low over New Orleans so that he could survey the damage. And the image of the president comfortably ensconced on Air Force One looking down on the devastation didn't play very well. And then when he made his first trip to the area, He commended his FEMA.
Oh, hell of a job,
chief,
Brownie.
Brownie, yeah, you're doing a hell of a job, Brownie. And the backlash to that was particularly strong, clearly, among African Americans, some of whom felt he was at the very least insensitive to the needs of their people, but worst, showing a racism that some attributed to Bush throughout the rest of his tenure. Mm. It was made worse when his mother, Barbara Bush, went down and said, remember, the Superdome was used as an evacuation point.
Right.
People were staying in there. The conditions there were horrendous and were reported by many news organizations. And Barbara Bush said, well, these are underprivileged people anyway, so this really isn't so bad for them. Mm. That made things even worse.
Yeah. Well, next door in Florida, you mentioned that possibly the Puerto Rican voters are making a big difference there. But Florida Governor Rick Scott, he suspended his Senate campaign against Bill Nelson to deal with the devastation. We've also seen plenty of footage of gubernatorial candidates, the Democrat Andrew Gillum and Republican Ron DeSantis on the ground, you know, with chainsaws helping to clear visiting sites. I am in no way discounting their motivation to respond. But is there a risk, Bill, in seeming opportunistic about dealing with these tragedies?
I think it all depends on attitude and the way in which the candidate approaches the work. Again, if President Trump goes to Puerto Rico and starts tossing paper towels to people sitting there, making a game of it, the reaction is, of course, negative. If a candidate goes in and can overcome the skepticism by appearing to be genuinely concerned, to connect in a very direct way with the people, then I think that makes all the difference in the world. Because isn't that really, aside from the aid that people can get, isn't what they really want is a human connection with their leader and a feeling that their leader is empathetic with what they're going through? That's the people who have embraced Donald Trump have embraced him for many reasons. But the bargain they've made is they have supported a guy who they know within his DNA, he just doesn't have that empathy gene, and he probably never will. And I think that's the reason he's criticized frequently. George W. Bush, remember, he made a disaster out of his reaction to Katrina. But when he stood at ground zero in the days after 9/11, he was at his best. He picked up the bullhorn. He said, America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here. He talked with such empathy, with such caring, that people, we needed that as Americans on that day.
Mm. Well, 2 weeks now, less than 2 weeks from a major election, with Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp running neck and neck for the gubernatorial race, and I know you'll be talking about that debate that was last night. How closely are voters looking at their responses to natural disasters like this?
Well, I mean, we haven't gotten a chance. I mean, as I said, both Kemp and Abrams have gone down to rural Georgia to show their concern about the disasters down there. But I wouldn't say that either of them have in any way showcased how they would respond in a major way in their campaigns. Again, Kemp, because he's working for those rural Georgia votes as a counterbalance to what he expects Abrams will get in metropolitan areas, he has a natural advantage as long as he conducts himself appropriately when he goes down there. And to the best of my knowledge, the reporting I've seen, he's done just fine.
Well, the debate was last night.
Yeah.
Wonder, you know, that was, let's say, contentious in its tone. We're about to wrap, but just any thoughts on polling? Any thoughts on did it change any minds?
Well, the race is neck and neck. I don't think the debate last night changed any minds whatsoever because both candidates pretty much stuck to the script they've been using throughout the campaign. And the question is, did either of them do enough to make sure they motivated the people who are already supporting them to get out and vote? We don't know that and won't until Election Day.
I guess you'll be talking about some of our October surprises that have recently come out today on Political Rewind. Bill Nigut, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Virginia.
Thank you so much. Bill will be breaking down last night's gubernatorial debate with his panel on Political Rewind. That's today at 2 here on GPB. Now, stay with us. We're going to hear from the creators of Accents. That's a new web series that embraces immigrant identity through accents. This is On Second Thought from Georgia Public Broadcasting. Stay with us.